We're going to be in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, and we're going to read through that all the way to chapter 12, and then we're going to touch on a few key notes there in verses 1 through 3. Living sacrifice is what I entitled the message, because that's what God calls us to do, and we'll see that in a minute. But for now, we'll just recap last week where we talked about unveiling grace. We talked about the grace that God gives us, and as we went through the teaching, we remember that we talked about the grace that God has given us and how He unveils Himself to us, even as He did to Moses when he was on the mountain, and how that Shekinah glory started to radiate from His face, and as He came down from the mountain, there was this shine about Him, and how He veiled Himself when it started to fade because He was no longer in the presence of the Lord, and it started to fade. And how He didn't want the people to lose hope, so He veiled Himself. And we talked about our own personal walk, how there's times in our life where we have veiled ourselves. And some of the veiling that I like to look at my veil as is my flesh. My flesh is this veil that contains sometimes or holds back the Shekinah glory that's within me that wants to radiate and shine onto other people, but my flesh stands in the way. It veils me from all that I want to be in Christ Jesus. And we talked about how God, when He's reaching out, He'll send someone. He'll preach the Word. People will believe and they'll call on Him. And that's basically what happens in the life of a believer. And we read a scripture in Isaiah 65, verse 2, that said, "All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." How God loves us unconditionally and He reaches out to us regardless what state we're in. I remember God calling out to me when I was in a state of debauchery and sin and just horribleness, and yet He reached out to me. It wasn't like if I was out searching for the Lord, it was Him reaching down to the bottom of the barrel and finding me. He stretched out His hands to me. Unchanging people, we talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, how their minds are blinded. Blinded minds. They can't see with consciousness. Their hearts are veiled, the Bible said. Basically, we're filled with ourselves. That's why I say our flesh is a veil that tries to keep out and keep in the Holy Spirit that wants to shine out to everybody else. Therefore, unveiling grace. Matthew 27, we talked about Christ came, He suffered, and Christ yielded Himself up. And that was the unveiling grace that He showed us, as we're to be imitators of Jesus. Paul said it best when he said, "Imitate me as I imitate the Lord." Well, we go and we tell people Christ came, so we come too to others. And there's times where we suffer. Christ suffered, but the key was yielding yourself up. Once you're in that position where you're suffering, you yield yourself up to the Lord. Where do we go if not to the Lord? Who can comfort? Who can restore? Who can be the lifter of our head besides the Lord? And those of you who have gone through or going through difficult situations, you know that nothing comforts like the Lord. Well-meaning friends gather around and it means a lot to you and you recognize who your friends are, but nobody comforts like the Lord. There's times where I go totally by myself when I'm suffering, and sometimes I don't even tell anyone. There's times where I need a friend. I need something tangible. I need something wrapped up in flesh that can tell me things are going to be okay. There's times where that happens. But for the most part, I recognize even when a word comes through them, it's God, no one else. Who else can it be? The unveiling grace was offered to us through Christ, and we too need to unveil our grace to one another. Showing grace, being gracious. And that brings us to a living sacrifice in chapter 11, verse 11 of Romans, where it says, "I say then, have they stumbled?" Now he's speaking of the Jews, remember as we went through this last week. He says, "Have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" He's talking about the Jews, how they resisted or rejected Jesus Christ. That's their failure. And if they were going to fail in anything, it's interesting, he says that their failure brought about the riches in the Gentile world, if you will. Because the Bible says that I first came to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And when they rejected, Paul went to the Gentiles as he was a minister to the Gentiles. But he says everything basically works together for good. For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. It's just expanding. In other words, he went to the Jews, and there were some, but most rejected. So now God's expanding him. Whenever there's a closed door or a deaf ear that your words fall upon, God could very well be expanding you. Don't get disappointed. Just continue on into what God has called you. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, that was me, that was you, if you're Gentiles, that was us, were grafted in among them, and with the same became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. And the olive tree is often significant of Israel. And if they rejected, he said, the message, and they rejected it so that I may go to the Gentiles and preach this, well, praise God. Then I'm one that's grafted in there, and so are you. We're grafted into the olive tree, if you will, or God's people. Do not boast against the branches. If you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. In other words, he says, don't boast against the Jewish nation. Don't say, oh, well, I'm grafted in, and they rejected God, and they killed Jesus and all this. Don't boast about that. He says, because remember, you're being fed by the root. They were the root. And if the root is holy, then the lump or the tree will be holy, he says. And it supports you. You're a branch. You don't support the tree. The roots do. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because there are some who rejected Jesus Christ from the Jewish. Picture this tree growing there, and there's some that were rejecting Jesus Christ, and they were broken off as to be burned in the fire when you're pruning. And then you were grafted in. And he says, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith, nothing else. Do not be haughty, but fear. Don't be haughty and say, I'm a Christian, I can do all, and you just start boast in your Christianity. Be humble, because the Bible says that God draws nearer to those who are humble. In fact, His grace is on the humble. Be humble. Don't be haughty. Don't be boisterous and obnoxious with your faith, but be gentle as a dove and wise as serpents, going about seeing who you can minister to. For if God did not spare the natural branches, speaking of the Jews, He may not spare you either. In other words, guard your salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. That's what He's saying here. Guard your salvation. It's a precious gift. It's like this crystal Tiffany vase. You've seen them. They're real thin. Some of them are so thin, it feels like you barely tap them, they'll break. That's your gift. That's your salvation. Protect it. Keep it safe in a secure place. Don't just throw it about. Guard your salvation. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. Goodness and severity. Check this out. On those who fell, severity. On those who fell, judgment. God is not to be joked with. Whatever you sow, that you will also reap. Therefore, if you've sowed bad things in your life, repent and turn from them. Turn now. Why wait? Why wait to see if maybe God's severity will just bounce down on you and you'll be cut off? No, just turn now. Today is the day of salvation. Turn your life around now. Maybe you already saved, but you just allowed things over your lifetime to come in and just corrupt you, and you think, God, how did I ever get involved in some of these things? I know Your righteous judgments, and Lord God, what do I do? I don't want the severity of God to fall upon me. Well, then turn. Be grafted into Jesus Christ. But toward you, goodness, He says. Those of you who have done that already, severity is not there. Goodness, gentleness, and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise, notice it's conditional, if you continue in His goodness, make sure you're there. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. The very ones who reject Christ, and you think sometimes there's no hope for them. I don't understand. They're on the highway to hell. There's hope. There's hope if they believe. God can graft them back in again. If you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, a wild tree growing out in the rocks and the crags and the crevices, and you were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Speaking of the Jews, God has not forgotten the Jews. There will be a time where their eyes will be open and the scales will be lifted. The veil will be removed. And they'll see God in His fullness and Christ in His deity. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Don't be smart in what you think is right. Check it out with the Word of God and make sure you're aligned with the Word of God. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness or hardening, literally it's to be hardening in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. When is the Lord going to reveal Himself fully to Israel? When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The Deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them to all to disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Amen. The doxology ends this section of Romans is the natural outpouring of Paul's praise to God, whose wisdom and knowledge brought about this great plan of salvation for both the Jews and the Gentiles. Who could search the mind of God? Who are we to say they're not going to be saved? Or those ones have gone too far? We just don't know. In our minds and in our flesh, we think it's too late for them. God, there's no way. But He can graft them in at any point. I have a tree. I have some trees at my house. There's these trees called purple robe. And they give these clusters of grape-looking flowers. I love to get in the purple robes when the bumblebees come. And they're so cute. No, bumblebees are cute. They're all fat and round. And they go... They just kind of go around like that, and it's so hilarious because I'll stand right in the midst of the tree, and there's all these purple flowers, and they're all around me. You just hear, and then they get to a flower, and they go, real funny little squeak, and then they go, and they're just taking the nectar. And it's beautiful. I just love doing that. And if you don't bother them, they won't bother you. There's, in Spanish, it's called retoños. They're roots that come up over there. So if you have like a tree, that one comes up and it's of the same nature. And it's a root that comes up because it's not from the seed. It pops up from the root. And there's this one tree in front and you'll see the purple robe. And you'll see the other tree came up from the root. I remember when it came up. I just left it there to see what would happen. And it turned out to be perfect spacing and it just looks good. But the flowers are white and not purple. And I thought, oh, isn't that cool? I wonder why. So I did a little research and I found out what they do is they get the purple robe, which isn't actually a native to New Mexico, and they hook it up with this uña de gato, they call it. I'm not sure what you call it in English. But they get the root from the uña de gato, which is a similar tree or same species, and they put it on the purple robe so it'll thrive over here. So the root popped up and the uña de gato is white. So we see how you can be grafted in. And you can be grafted in and you start to bloom where you're planted. And it's so neat, white, the purity that comes out of you as you're grafted into the body of Christ. What a beautiful picture, right there in my front yard. But that's what he's talking about. He says, who are we to say? God knows what he's doing. Even in their disobedience, it was for a purpose so that us or you, whoever you guys are, I'm a Gentile, whoever the Gentiles are, that they would be drawn to Jesus Christ. Because the Gentiles were always on the outside looking in. They had the court of the Gentiles where they could go and they could move about in the temple, but they couldn't get past that. They couldn't go into the other areas of the temple where God was, according to Jewish culture or religion. But now, that middle wall of separation that it's called in the temple was broken down. And now the Gentiles, because of Jesus Christ, can go in and out because he has unveiled himself to all, no longer just the Jewish people. And that's what Paul is saying. By the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's just our reasonable service. Understanding what God has done for us. Understanding how he sacrificed some inches that we might be saved. The Bible says he's given nations and countries for us that you might be saved. It didn't come at a very light cost. It was a big cost for you and for me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's almost like an oxymoron as you understand what happened in the Old Testament where they would, even in the New Testament, where they would sacrifice animals. Those animals weren't living when they was on the altar. Yet God has called us to this altar, if you will, to be a living sacrifice. And you've heard it said perhaps that the problem with a living sacrifice is it tends to want to walk off the table, off the altar. And there's times in our life where we think we can't take any more of what the world has handed us. And yet, we think, oh, I just got to get off of this altar, and I just got to run, I got to go somewhere. And you know what? Stay planted right there in the presence of God, in, if you will, the holies of holies. God has broken down those walls of separation. Stay close to God. He broke them so that we could stay close to God. Stay there. Stay planted there. Hold on to him. A living sacrifice. Holy, meaning different. Not merely a ritual activity, but involvement of heart, mind, and will. Worship, obedient service is what we see being different means. Being holy. It means different. And that's how we're different. We're not just going about the ritualistic, going to church, going to Bible study. If you are, it's wrong. You might as well stay home. But if you're doing it out of a heart for God, a vehement heart and mind and will, you want to worship the Lord with every part of your body. That's what a sacrifice is. The Bible calls it a sacrifice to worship as we lay ourselves on the altar of Christ and receive all that he has for us, be it hard or easy. Acceptable to God, we find out that this is acceptable to God. Presenting your bodies as a sacrifice is being different. But it's acceptable to God. You can't go out into the world and just lay that on somebody because they'll say, are you nuts? You're going to suffer for the Lord? I don't understand. I thought he freed us. They don't understand. But this is acceptable to God. And it's our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service. Goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world. Looked up the word conform just in Webster's. It means to adapt. Don't be adapted to this world. Don't be grafted into this world system, the way it works. We're in it, not of it, the Bible says. Don't adapt to it. Don't comply to it. I'm not saying rebel and go against it. I'm saying don't become like it. Don't be the same. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. Now this word transform, it means metamorphosis. To be like a cocoon, you know, a worm that wraps itself in a cocoon and then it breaks free. We're wrapped up in this fleshly body, but the Spirit of God is within us, and someday it'll blossom into a totally different creation. We look at the little worm and they're just crawling around just slow. In a while,
We're going to see them just flying. They're transformed. They're metamorphed into something totally different. We see ourselves now and we struggle and we groan in this tent that God has given us called our body. And we struggle with our flesh and our desires and our sin and all these things. But it's going to be totally different. Are we going to look different? I imagine so. Do I have any ideas? I have a few ideas, but they might be way off. Who knows what God has planned for us? Who knows? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thinking differently. Being holy. In other words, thinking differently. As the Scriptures instruct us, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice. One of the things we want to show is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about the person. A living sacrifice. We offer this up to the Lord, wherever we're at. And then also in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, we see the praise. As it says, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, because you're grafted into the tree, there should be fruit. It is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. The sacrifice, the second sacrifice we look at is the sacrifice of praise. Therefore, if we're to offer sacrifices, offer praise. How many of you, when you're hurting, when there's nothing inside of you and you're just groaning and things have come upon you and or you've allowed things into your life and you're just groaning from it, say, oh, I think I'll just go praise the Lord. We get so wrapped up in what's going on and we start seeing the wheels of the world turn and start pulling us down lower and lower and lower. At that point in your life, when you feel you're just being drawn down into the earth, lift up your hands. Turn on the stereo. Put some music on that is godly music. That you can just worship the Lord. Start to worship Him and praise Him. And watch what God will do. It amazes me. There's times I get so caught up in myself, I can't see past myself. And sometimes Yvonne will come to me and say, babe, you just got to praise. You just have to praise Him. And I look at her like weak. It's kind of like this war movie that you see on TV where the guy is just, you know, beat up. And the guy says, you can make it. Oh, I'm dying. No, you can make it. I'll help you. And you see the guy get up and he's walking over there and makes it. You know, and they do the pickup and he carried off. That's like us. We get battle weary sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we can't move anymore. And then a word, whether it's a friend or a husband or a loved one, just says, no, you can do this. I know it's hard. My heart goes out to you. But you can do this. And you get up. Praise Him. Whether it's with words, you know, sometimes we just get before Him. We just say, Jesus, I want to praise You. Lift your arms right now. Let's practice. Jesus, I want to praise You. I want to love You, Lord God, like no one else, Lord God. I want You to be in my life forever. God, I turn away from this. Forgive me for being weak. Strengthen me, Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me in my weakness. You just praised Him. You praised Him. You gave Him glory. You put Him where He belongs to be in your life, on the throne room of your life. That's what praise means. The sacrifice of praise in those quiet times where it's so hard. Be encouraged. Do it. And watch the Lord. The sacrifice of person, a living sacrifice on the altar. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of performance in Hebrews 13, 16. It goes on to say, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Person, praise, performance. Put giving of yourself to others in need. Encouraging, be an encourager. And then the last one is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 5. The sacrifice of your purse, your giving. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In other words, they didn't have much. They didn't have much at all, but what they had, they gave. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. They weren't motivated by this great speaker who came to town and motivational speaking. Notice we don't talk about tithing here a whole lot. Why? Because God should be the motivator, is what he's saying. God should motivate you to give. Well, I don't have much, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you, Lord. And it doesn't have to be here at the church. It might be somewhere else. But you give. And that's what he's saying. These people didn't have much, and they didn't do it because somebody pressured them. They were free to do it, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, because they were missionaries in a sense, and they were hoping that they could survive off of people's giving. So they had hope for that, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Notice it was the gift of fellowship and then ministering to the saints. Stay in fellowship one with another. And if there's something that arises that you want to give to, then give to it. You know? That's what he's saying. And they were in the will of God. So we see the four sacrifices: the person, the praise, the performance, the purse. None of which should be neglected when we're following the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 talk about being transformed. Be transformed in your bodies, in your mind, in your spirit. In your bodies, being transformed, not doing the things that we used to do. Turning away from it and just walking away and saying, you know what? My flesh loves this, but I know God doesn't want me to do it. I'm going to stop. You're transformed in your body. I mean, in your mind, the things that you used to dwell upon for hours perhaps or whatever it may be, but you knew it was sin. Be transformed in your mind. Start filling it with the Word of God. Start filling it with praise and worship and songs to our Lord. And in your spirit, let your spirit shine. The veil has been removed. Let that Shekinah glory shine onto the people. Don't hide your light under a basket, as the Bible says. Let it shine. Let others know about the Lord. Turn with me in closing to the Gospel of John chapter 15. Since we're talking about being grafted into the olive tree or into the Lord, I want to read something to you. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus speaking. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And you guys know that if you prune a tree, it becomes stronger and it bears more fruit. It's able to hold up the weight of the fruit. Otherwise, it'll just fold over. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, you've accepted the Lord at some point in your life. You're already clean. He says, abide in me. Now that you have accepted Jesus into your life, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In other words, there's no fake fruit. There's works, but there's no fake fruit. What do you mean, Pete? Well, works is going to church, doing a Bible study, all these things that we do. That could be fruit as well, but that could be works. You could easily, if you're not abiding in the vine, you could do that and you're not saved. But if you are saved, you do it because you are saved. But fruit, the fruit of repentance, there's a fruit that nobody talks about much. I've repented of the things I used to do. That's a fruit in my life. The fruit of forgiveness, extending forgiveness to people who have harmed you or hurt you. That's fruit as well. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Separation from God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. It's beautiful what Jesus says. It's a beautiful thing as we look at it. The way Jesus has called us to be a part of Himself and Him to be a part of us. In John chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "And He found," speaking of Jesus, "He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business." Are you doing business in church? What's the intent of the heart? Remember, there's no fake fruit. There's works. And God, we see Him addressing that issue where it says He found in the temple them selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. Are we just busy? You know, just like those bees floating around the tree doing works? Or are we like the fruit on the tree feeding those who are doing business, so to speak? John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. "And Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed.'" You see, when we read the Word of God, do we take it in? Does it become a part of us? Are we grafted into Jesus Christ? Do we hold on to the promises? Doesn't matter what we're going through, we're holding on because we're part of the tree system. And we know that the only place that we can be sustained is by being in the tree, because the roots go down deep. Do we believe that? He says, if you do, if you abide in My words, you are My disciples indeed. The mark of a good disciple. He stays planted. No matter what's going on in his life, he stays planted to that which nourishes him, that which bears fruit in his life. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." What's the truth? We suffer. We're happy. All this culmination of things in our life. But the main truth is that we have a future with Jesus Christ in heaven, in glory, forever and ever. And that's what we hold on to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You in Your presence, Lord God. And as we rejoice before the Lamb of God, You're there with us, Your presence, and You're removing the enemy's presence once and for all. You will destroy the enemy, the one who caused us so much grief, the one that ravished our families, the one that ravished our land, the one that we maybe even followed for a time, Lord God. But we know that even now, if we will stand strong and we will follow Your commandments, if we follow Your word, basically, if we fall in love with You, Father, we'll be standing, and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week.